All set.
All right. Good morning. This is a meeting of the Title Setting Board pursuant to Article 40 of Title I CRS. The time is 10:05 a.m. The date is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015. We are meeting in the Secretary of State's Aspen Room, 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. The Title Setting Board today consists of myself, Suzanne Steyert, Deputy Secretary of State on behalf of Wayne Williams, Fred Yarger, Solicitor General, Designee of Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman, and Jason Gallander, Senior Attorney Designee of the Director of Office of Legislative Legal Services, Dan Carton. For anyone who wishes to testify, there is a sign-up sheet on the back table, and this hearing is being broadcast over the internet from the Secretary of State's website. Public restrooms are located on this floor. When the Title Board considers a proposed initiative for the first time, the Board will follow three steps. First, Board members may wish to ask questions of the proponents. This is to ensure that the Board understands the proposal. Second, the Board will determine if it has jurisdiction to set a title. In particular, the Board must determine if the measure complies with the single subject rule prescribed in Article 5, Section 1, 5.5 of the Colorado Constitution and Section 140, 106.5 of the Colorado Revised Statute. This is because the Board is prohibited from setting a title for a measure that contains more than one subject. Third, if the Board determines that it has jurisdiction to set title, then the Board will use a staff-prepared draft for discussion purposes. A copy of the staff draft is on the table. Generally, we will take all testimony first, then the Board will discuss and vote after all testimony is completed. A decision is reached by two of three members of the Board. Please take note that we are not concerned with the merits of any proposal here. We are only concerned with the setting of titles. Furthermore, we are not concerned with the legal or constitutional objections to the measures, except to the extent that such objections relate to the jurisdiction of the Board to set title or to the correctness of the titles and summaries themselves. Anyone who is dissatisfied with the decision of the Title Board may file a motion for rehearing with the Secretary of State within 7 calendar days. First item on the agenda today is Initiative 2015-2016, number 46, Public Accountability of Officers. And if the proponents are here, if they could come up to the podium and introduce yourselves.
Mike Spaulding, proponent.
David Otke, proponent.
All right. Why don't one of the two of you start and just tell us what you believe the single subject is and just by way of background, how you think you've changed it from last time to satisfy the single subject issue.
So the subject remains accountability of public officers to the voters. And last time we did find that as a single subject, except on rehearing we found that there was a problem because some judges are elected as opposed to appointed, and the objection was it would be a second subject to add retention votes to judges who aren't currently subject to retention votes. So we've modified the initiative, and that's in section 3, which addresses retention, and it says all non-elected judicial officials. So this would not apply at all to those who are made accountable through regular elections. So with that objection covered, I think that we do have a single subject and we can proceed.
Questions from the board? Any questions?
No. I have a question about a different some new language that it looks like you've added to this, or at least I didn't notice in the last one, where it says official retention reports shall state facts only, not opinions, appear on websites only, and not advise how to vote.
Right, that's in the judicial section, yes.
Yes, and how does that relate to accountability?
It's just details on how the retention is handled for the justices. We have, you know, considerable details for how the recall is handled for public officials, and then these are just to makes sure that it's similar, so it's not too complicated, and also to cover some of the details.
But that's new, isn't it? Something you've added?
I admit to a bit of a blurring, but I think I don't have the previous text with me. It may be new, or maybe just some changes of the way it was added. I think in the last section, or the last version, we hadn't pulled out the retention stuff into a separate section. It was kind of within the other stuff. I'm not sure.
The concern I have here is it seems to me that what you're doing with this provision is limiting information made available to voters, and how that increases accountability or really relates to it is something I'm at a bit of a loss to understand.
Yeah, I agree. Limiting information is not what we want to do. But there currently is a board that puts out an opinion and sometimes strays from just giving the facts. And so we do want the public to have all the facts. And with the websites, there's a lot more information available to the public than there would be with the just having it in the Blue Book. So we think this actually increases accountability because all the information is out there, but opinions of their coworkers are not included. So
I know that we've seen a number of versions of this, and I appreciate your continued attempts to put this on the ballot. I continue to be troubled by the fact that we've got two classes here. We've got elected officers and judicial officers, and we've got recall and we've got retention. And I'm still struggling with the Supreme Court's guidance on this type of initiative, and putting these two mechanisms under one initiative is still a struggle for me.
But of course, you know, we have three branches of government, and so we're covering all three branches. Everybody should be accountable. And, you know, retention elections are already there as a form of accountability, and we're just making sure that they happen all the time rather than, I think some are every 10 years, so this makes them more accountable.
All right. Any other questions, proponents?
Maybe just one quick one. This bit that was discussed, and if you recall, I was not here for the rehearing last time, but I have listened to the recording and know what the discussion was. This issue was brought up by opponents about your extension of vacancies, essentially. We're under this proposed initiative, vacancies could go for quite a bit longer than they do now, which seems to undermine if accountability more than it promotes it.
Well, currently, if by some odd happenstance nobody wanted to run for the office, then somebody, you know, depending on the office, would appoint someone in there. And that's still available for higher offices as mayors and governors, any executive position. But it is true that if there was a situation where nobody wanted to run for office, then that office would stay empty until the next election. Presumably at that point, maybe somebody would want to run for office. It is a really odd situation. We wanted to cover everything, but I don't know what it would say that nobody wanted to run for the office.
Okay.
I'm done.
All right. Okay. Is there anybody here who wishes to speak on this issue? All right, thanks. So, discussion by the board on the single subject issue?
Anyone?
I think I stated my concerns, and I think I understand the proponent's position. So.
Okay, appreciate it.
Well, then it's to you, Jason.
For me to... What, are you wanting a motion?
Sure.
I think that I have some concerns that even though I was not here, that the last rehearing we found that there was not a single subject, and I didn't get the impression that that was solely on the basis of the extension of retention elections to elected judicial officers. It seemed like there were more grounds than that when listening at the tape. And now, rather than scaling things back, we actually have a little bit of additional language in this version of the proposed initiative. Plus, we have this vacancy issue, which, while as a practical matter might not happen very regularly, I think does leave an odd, doesn't seem integral to making this thing work, since we have existing vacancy filling procedures. In this extension of time, one would seem to reduce accountability. And secondly, seems a little bit like something that someone reading this initiative, a voter would not expect to find in there, the possibility that they might not have anyone representing them for an extended period of time, which isn't the case under current law. So for those reasons, the motion I will make is that we find that this initiative has multiple subjects and that we do not have jurisdiction to set a title.
I second.
Well, I hadn't really thought much about the other issue, but I'm just not sure that it's ever going to work to try to put judicial officers, just because of the differences in the way that they are elected. There's a question about whether that retention is an election or whether that's a ballot question, ballot issue. I'm not sure we're ever going to get there with judicial officers in there. But I tend to agree that this one presents more than two subjects, because it hasn't really fixed the issue we had last time, and it has added something new in the arena of what goes on the website. I mean, it changes the Judicial Performance Commission's duties, essentially, in the way that they recommend or don't recommend for retention. So I'm also going to join in voting that this does not have a single subject. So all those in favor of the motion? Aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. All right. The next issue is Initiative 2015-2016, number 53, the Independent Ethics Commission.
Good morning.
Morning.
Chris Forsyth, proponent.
Laurie Forsyth, proponent.
If we could just start out, if you could just state your single subject for us. And
the transfer of jurisdiction over judicial discipline and disability to the Independent Ethics Commission from the current Judicial Discipline Commission.
Okay. And there were no changes from the last time you presented this, is that right?
Not substantively. If you notice on the very end of it, there are two statute crossed out. We realized we had missed those conforming cross-outs in legislative language, so we just added that to make sure that all the law was appropriately corrected.
All right. Any questions from the board?
No.
I have a question about the provision. I think it's Section 2. Subparagraph, I guess it's 3D, regarding jurisdiction of the IEC not only over complaints about the conduct of judicial officers, but issues arising in orders that might be appealed to other judicial officers. Now, is it right that you're saying that misconduct can be reflected in an order, and so therefore, just because something is on appeal, it doesn't divest the IEC of jurisdiction. What is the purpose of that provision?
The purpose is that our current constitution gave the Supreme Court power to make rules regarding judicial discipline. The Supreme Court used that power to, number one, create an executive director that reports not only to the commission but to the Supreme Court, and then two, required that executive director to dismiss complaints that were related to appealable orders. So if a judge commits misconduct in the context of an order, there can be no discipline because the Supreme Court ordered the executive director to dismiss the complaint. There's no confusion here because technically in judicial discipline proceedings, there's no appeal. In judicial discipline proceedings, the Judicial Discipline Commission makes a recommendation. Then if the Supreme Court, you know, accepts that recommendation, it's done. Technically, there's no appeal. What this language gets at is what the vast majority of other states and even our own constitution requires, is that any violation of the Code of Judicial Conduct can be punished, even if that violation is in an appealable order.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I think I understand.
Okay.
Have anything?
No. We did, when this was done, the 2013-14 cycle is number 94, find a single subject.
Right.
Based on the only additions being the striking of language, and doesn't look to me to have specific substantive intent so much as to just remove references to the Judicial Commission, which will no longer exist if this becomes law. I don't see any reason why we would change that. So I think if we're ready for a motion, I would move that we find we have a single subject and jurisdiction to set a title.
Okay. Let me just ask if there's anybody here who wishes to speak on that issue? No? All right.
Okay. Then I would move that proposed initiative 2015-16 number 53 has a single subject and that we have jurisdiction to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 That's unanimous. So we'll move to title setting. And I think the staff draft that was provided is the same that we came up with when we set it last time.
Yes, it is, except for the brief reference that we're also amending statutes.
Right. Do you have any comments on the staff draft?
I think it's a safe bet because it survived challenge to the Supreme Court, and I'm fine with it. So.
You don't want to.
Just like, you know.
Yeah. All right. Anyone on the board have any comments about the staff draft?
It doesn't include a description or statement about this change to include within it the conduct that would be reflected in an order that would be subject to appeal. And I think that's a significant aspect of this proposal that ought to be reflected in the ballot title.
May I speak to that?
Sure.
Our current constitution requires that any violation of the Code of Judicial Conduct can be disciplined. This measure is amending the Constitution essentially to reaffirm what the Constitution already states. The Supreme Court went afoul of the Constitution when it issued a rule saying that violations of the Code of Judicial Conduct related to appealable orders shall be dismissed. So we're not amending that rule. We're taking the rulemaking authority away from the Supreme Court. So our current constitution currently says any violation of the Code of Judicial Conduct, this initiative in no way changes that standard. It reaffirms that standard and removes the conflict of interest in judicial discipline.
Now, I understand that. My concern is not substantive or what the court has done previously. My concern is that that's a significant provision. You're constraining the ability of the IEC to make rules similar to the existing rules. And so I think it ought to be reflected in the title. That's my only concern.
Do you have some suggested language?
Yeah, I think after the transferring jurisdiction over judicial discipline and disability to the Independent Ethics Commission from the Commission on Judicial Discipline and specifying that such jurisdiction includes review of claims of violations of the Colorado Code of Judicial Conduct and claims of disability, comma, regardless of whether that conduct concerns the subject of an order, of an appealable order. Comma, as well as complaints that were previously dismissed.
I would express a concern about that. I don't know that this provision, I think to us as attorneys, this seems like a significant issue. I think to the public at large, I don't know that that's a central feature, and I don't know that we can describe it in a way that won't cause more confusion than clarification.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a whole lot of people who would understand. I mean, it's written in the, you know, a simple form, but I don't know if there were many people that would understand what that meant. The conduct concerns the subject of an appealable order.
I think that should be, that could be changed. But if there's not agreement on whether that ought to be reflected, maybe we ought to address that first before trying to address the language itself.
Yeah, I guess I tend to agree, and the fact that the question's already gone up and come back. The court must have, the Supreme Court must have thought it wasn't a provision that had to be included or they would have reversed us. So I think based on maybe that alone, I'm hesitant to change the question to add anything else. So if you're fine leaving it out, then I guess that's two.
Yeah, I don't think it quite reaches central feature level, and maybe more significantly, I don't think we can with any kind of brevity describe it in a way that the average, that it helps the average voter understand the measure.
Okay, well, I, two against one makes a majority. Yes. So I will stand down.
All right. Any other comments on the title?
The only one I had, and I think I brought this up the last time around, but I'm going to bring it up again, is just whether, you know, we don't, this measure, as I said, completely eliminates the Commission on Judicial Discipline. And this doesn't actually say that it does, this title doesn't actually say that it does that. And I believe I made this point before and we decided that that didn't need to be in the title, but I just wanted to raise it again because I think it is significant. I think the change is pretty easy. I think you would just, after the therewith, say eliminating the Commission on Judicial Discipline, you know, comma, transferring its jurisdiction over judicial discipline, disability, et cetera, and then just sort of going, ending with a comma after commission. So transferring jurisdiction over judicial discipline, disability to the Independent Ethics Commission, comma, and then, and granting, actually, no, never mind that. But the point is just whether we want to specifically identify that the commission will no longer exist or not.
Do you want to respond to that?
I don't think that's a central feature of the legislation or the initiative. It transfers jurisdiction. When you just read it, my heart stopped because it was reading as something it exactly wasn't, which was eliminating judicial discipline. So if you read the first part, you kind of stop. before you get to transferring. So it made my heart stop because I'm like, that's not what we're doing. We're trying to resurrect the Code of Judicial Conduct and resurrect judicial discipline by transferring jurisdiction to from one commission to the other. The fact that one, the Judicial Discipline Commission would cease to exist, I don't think is that relevant. And it's not really, this isn't an anti-judicial discipline commission measure. It's the Supreme Court that acted on a conflict of interest and created the problem. So that's the conflict we're trying to remove.
Is transferring jurisdiction sufficient to encompass the notion that you're removing it from a previous body?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And this is probably, I suspect this is how the conversation went last time, so okay. I don't have a,
so
I don't have
listen.
Any problem. Just are we, if there isn't additional comment, are we ready for a motion to just adopt the staff draft as is?
I'm ready, unless.
I'm ready.
Is there anyone who wishes to speak on the staff draft? No? Okay. Go ahead.
All right. In that case, I would move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2015-16, number 53, as it appears in the staff draft.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right.
Thank you very
Thank
much
you.
For your time.
We have one minor housekeeping matter to take care of before we proceed to the next one.
All right, we'll take a break.
Mr. Harrison, if you'd come forward and sign the affidavit.
Are we going off the record?
We're ready to proceed when the board's ready.
All right. The next item on the agenda is proposed initiative 2015-2016, number 51, food store license. And if the proponents are present, if you could just state their names, Mr. Rogers.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Trey Rogers representing proponents Blake Harrison and Grayson Robinson, who are both here and who have completed their affidavits this morning.
And if we could just start, if you could tell us the single subject of your proposal, and then because 51 and 52 are so similar, if you could just tell us the difference so that we can incorporate that into the title.
Sure. The single subject of 51 and the purpose is to authorize the sale of full-strength beer and wine at food stores. The difference between 51 and 52 is a single provision that would replace provisions of Title 12, Article 2046, that permit the sale of 3-2 beer for off-premises consumption with the provisions of the measure.
So in 51, the 3-2 license would remain?
Correct.
Okay, and in 52, it would be eliminated and everybody would be transferred over if they chose to apply?
Correct.
Essentially, okay.
One question, though, they still have to qualify
as a food store?
That's correct.
So they're under 51, you could still have establishments with a fermented malt beverage license that doesn't qualify as a food store still operating and selling those beverages. Under 52, you would not.
Yeah, or that for whatever reason chose not to seek a food store license. Correct, yes.
Okay. And for clarification, are we doing 51 and 52 together, or are we doing?
No, it's just when we set 51, because of some issues we had last year with similar questions and proponents running petitions at the same time, I personally wanted to make sure that whatever the change was specified in the question so that we don't necessarily have to ask the proponents if they're committing to only running one, because that became problematic last year when someone ran two and there was an issue about whether we had the authority to bind them to run only one. And so my thought was this year I was going to try to just not ask that question.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure we can bind it. And so I wanted to address it in our drafting of the question rather than try to address it with the proponents that come in.
So right now we're just dealing with 51 though.
Right.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
All right. Other questions from the board regarding the single subject?
Nope.
Is there anybody here who wishes to speak on the issue of whether this is a single subject? Oh, all right.
Then I would move that we find that proposed initiative 51 constitutes a single subject and that we proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 That's unanimous, which takes us to the staff draft.
Madam Chair, we've provided Mr. Ward with a red line with a few changes, and if it would be convenient for the board, we would suggest that perhaps we could work from that red line, which would allow us to put the staff draft and our proposed changes on the screen at the same time.
Sure. Is that?
That's fine.
I've got hard copies for the board, and I've got a few extras for members of the audience as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'd be happy to walk through these changes if that would be the proposed changes, if that would be helpful.
Sure.
So the first change on line one would be to strike amendment and to substitute change for that. And that is, I think this is probably just a typo to list this as an amendment. This is a statutory change. And under 106.3C, I think the change language is required.
Sorry, still reading it.
Okay.
Just give me a minute, and then we can start back from the top. Okay. I don't have any questions in the first one, but I did want to read the entire red line, so I'm prepared now. So.
There are no other questions on the first one. I'll go on to the second change.
Okay.
So the proponents didn't feel that the language before the "and in connection therewith" clause accurately stated the single subject of the measure. And so we have attempted to insert the single subject or the purpose into that initial clause. It would also have the advantage of making the title shorter and I think less confusing to voters. I'll also comment that the creation of the food store license is not the purpose of the measure, as the staff draft would suggest. The purpose is to authorize the sale of full-strength beer and wine by food stores. And so we think that this change it puts the single purpose, the purpose front and center, and moves some of those details down after the "and in connection therewith" clause.
How do you feel about food store versus grocery store?
Well, the language used in the initiative is food store, and really it's probably broader than just what people would traditionally consider a grocery store. There are probably stores that are that qualify that would look more like a convenience store. So we like food store.
Yeah, I had the same thought, Suzanne, and I thought that.
Yeah.
I agree that I think the provision is designed to be a little bit broader, and it might be slightly misleading. I don't think grossly misleading, but slightly misleading to just limit it to grocery stores.
Okay.
I do have one question in terms of the terminology that you used, not regarding food stores, but in terms of full-strength beer and wine, because nowhere in the measure do those terms appear.
Right.
And so I'm a little torn in terms of using terminology that, yes, it is in terms of you look at the definitions of those terms as your measure uses them, they mean full-strength beer and wine, but nowhere in your measure do those terms appear.
Sure. Well, of course, the statute and the Supreme Court case law on title setting tells us that we need a plain language statement for the title. We don't want to confuse voters by including legalese or technical terms. And to use in the first clause there, Venice and malt liquors would be confusing to voters. We have, as you'll notice, included after the in connection therewith clause some language that I think would clear this up and tells us that malt and Venice liquors are commonly known as full-strength beer and wine. So there's not going to be any voter confusion with these changes.
Well, if that's the case in terms of if we keep the language in sort of commonly referred to as appeared in the staff draft and in your draft, then what's the problem in using the actual terminology in the statement, the single subject statement?
Well, it would be confusing to voters. I'm not sure the average voter knows what Venice liquors and malt liquors are.
But you have that explanation then in the further down in the title.
We do. We think that's the proper place.
I think
place
the title
for
board
it.
In general has been adverse sometimes to including terminology, you know, sort of a shorthand when it doesn't appear in the initiative itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I'm just asking in terms of your choice of those terms up front versus just relying on the shorthand explanation later on.
Mm-hmm. It's really about voter confusion. If in the first two lines of the measure, we throw out a couple of terms that are the voters are unfamiliar with, we've really created confusion.
Thank you.
Maybe we can get there when we get there, but if we're going to make the change in the first clause, maybe the solution is to change malt and Venice liquors later to full-strength beer and wine, just to be consistent.
Which we've done. We would immediately after the in connection therewith clause said that the measure would allow food stores to sell malt and Venice liquors, commonly referred to as full-strength beer and wine. So that really ought to remove any question about what the measure does.
Right. I understand. I'm just wondering if the concern that Ms. Eubanks raised would be eased if it was just simplified so that throughout the same thing was referring to the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
Well, I think at some point you have to tell the voters what that means, and which is what you do in the second sentence, or first sentence coming out of connection therewith.
Yeah.
I mean, the terms are just, I mean, it's just a function of the liquor code, but and there's a difference between a malt beverage and a malt liquor, and I mean nobody would,
right.
Nobody would know those things.
Well, and the real concern is, you know, this measure would authorize the sale of full strength beer and wine, not liquor, not spirituous liquor, and
right.
By including in that first sentence the term liquor twice, certainly could mislead the voter into thinking that this measure would allow the sale of spirituous liquor. That term liquor, I think in common parlance, means whiskey and gin and vodka and all those fun things.
Yeah. I don't personally have a problem with putting it up front. I think, you know, the assumption is people are going to read the whole question. But we can get to it when we, let's go through the rest of it.
Okay. On line four, we've just proposed that what I think is some language that reads a little better than the staff draft, where we've changed from allowing to allow. We've also struck the term licensed on line five. They would become licensed, but it's not necessary to call them licensed food stores, I think, in that sentence. On lines eight and nine, we would strike the requiring food stores to purchase beer and wine from licensed wholesalers. That is an administrative detail. I think it's exactly what the voters would expect. Throughout Article 47, the licensees are generally required to purchase from a wholesaler with a few limited exceptions. So that is just not a central feature of the measure that warrants inclusion in the title. In the next clause on lines 9 and 10, we've eliminated some legalese. I think all or part of, and in the next on the next line, in whole or in part, are not necessary to convey the meaning of the provision in the initiative.
Do you think that that's central?
Purchasing.
That you can, I mean, do you think anybody knows that?
Sorry, that they purchase from food, that they purchase from wholesalers, or?
The ownership issue.
Frankly, I don't think it is. I think we could eliminate that clause in its entirety. That provision is really just a, it doesn't permit multiple ownership. It simply clarifies that other parts of the article do not prohibit multiple ownership. So it's really just clarification. And I don't think it's a central provision and could very well be eliminated.
But isn't that a major departure from the liquor code now? Because right now, in terms of a grocery store that has the pharmacy liquor license, that's why they only have it at one location, is because they you can't have multiple ownership under the liquor code with the other liquor licenses?
Well, it's not really a departure. You know, the owner of a liquor license, drugstore license, or a retail liquor store could own as many 3-2 licenses as they would like to. So, you know, this license, beer and wine only, lies somewhere between a 3-2 license and a full beer, wine, and liquor license. So the code nowhere really addresses ownership of multiple licenses of this nature. The reason we get to do this within single subject is because we get to make up the rules for our new license. And in doing so, the proponents have chosen to provide that if you own a liquor store or liquor license, drugstore license, you can also own as many food stores as you would like to own. So I would say it's really not a departure.
Thank you.
On line 12, again, in an attempt to shorten the measure, we would strike that the application is to the local licensing authority. It's just not an important detail where they apply. And then finally, on lines 13 and 14, we would strike the clause concerning the imposition of fees. Every type of license in Article 46 and 47 provides for some type of fees, so we don't think that's a central provision of the measure and could be eliminated from the title.
Let me ask you about the last provision. Do you think that's central?
We do think that's central. Under Article 47, a restaurant licensee can employ 18-year-olds or those under 21 to sell liquor as long as they're supervised by someone 21 or over. And so we think it's important to draw the voters' attention to the fact that, as opposed to allowing 18 to 20-year-olds to sell this product they are instead prohibited from doing so.
But if you sell a 3-2 product at a grocery store, you have to be 21, don't you?
A 3-2 product? I think an 18-year-old can sell 3-2 product.
Okay. I think they can only handle it, but
I
think they can like unload it from the dock. I'm not sure they can sell it. I guess that's why I'm asking whether it's central. I wasn't sure if that was really a change.
Okay, my subject matter expert is giving me the signal that you do have to be 21 to sell 3-2 product, but you can handle it if you're under 20, between 18 and 20, you can stock the product, et cetera.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I'm wondering whether that's really central or not.
Or is it just a continuation of...
It's already prohibited, is what I'm saying. I mean,
yeah, except in the case of a
the restaurant license.
Waiter at a restaurant or waitress at a restaurant.
But it's not changing what would happen in a grocery store. Okay.
May I ask a question about another provision of the title that you didn't propose any changes to, and that's in terms of the definition of a food store.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious. It seems like a lot of detail that voters might not really care in terms of what the gross income requirement is to qualify as a food store. And so I'm just curious, it's your thoughts. Obviously, you thought it was important enough. I don't know to have the percentage or the exclusions, you know, really in my mind are important to the voters, other than perhaps to say something about defines a food store that has a specified percentage of its annual gross income from the sale of food items without getting into any specifics. But obviously, you thought the details were important?
Not necessarily. That's a good point. Food store is not a common term. The grocery store would be. We don't think food store is. So I guess we were not surprised to see in the staff draft the definition included. But certainly a more concise definition of food store would be appropriate. Something along the lines that you suggest, a food store is a store that gains a certain amount of its
income
from the sale of food.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It would substantially shorten the measure as well.
Yeah, I had the same concern. It's a lot of detail that a little down in the weeds for the title.
Yeah, especially the exclusions, lottery.
Right.
All right. Well, should we just go through what our changes are? And I mean, I think we got to adopt the first one. That's statute.
Okay. You want to do it bit by bit as we go?
Sure. Okay.
So I would move that we make the change on line one to change the word amendment to a change.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, so the next one has to do with whether we want to use the language up front about the malt and, you know.
Yeah, the technical terms versus sort of the common usage.
I find the change to be helpful because full-strength beer and wine is specified later as being malt and Venice liquors. So I think that this does add some clarity and some concision where it's useful.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence because I hesitate to use a term that they didn't use.
In the introductory portion.
But I'm also cognizant of the fact that most people, or that this is certainly a term that is more common than malt and vinous liquor.
I rarely tell my friends that I'm bringing over malt liquor to barbecue.
But do you tell them you're bringing full strength
no,
beer?
No,
you don't specify that either. I don't know.
Yeah, and I just recall other discussions the title board has had on other measures in terms of technical terms. I remember bovine in particular.
Let's not go back there.
If we get into lactating yaks, I'm out, by the way.
I'm still having nightmares.
Yeah. So I'm sort of on the fence, too. Because as we first saw the staff draft, having the technical terms, but then having an explanation of the common terms, I felt that was sort of a good compromise. Whether or not to go sort of full bore in terms of the single subject statement containing the common usage, even though you have the explanation later on, it seems almost inconsistent to me, because then why even have the malt and the Venice liquor reference later on, even
right.
though to me that's the term as appears in the initiative, and I think those terms should appear in the title. I think I would probably be more comfortable using the technical terms in the single subject statement and then having the commonly referred to explanation later on. I mean, the full strength beer and wine terminology is going to be used in a campaign, and I will tell you right now that I heard a commercial last night on the radio already. And so, I mean, to me...
For sale in food stores?
Yes.
Or grocery stores?
Yes. Yes, I did. And so I to me, that's going to be out there in terms of the potential campaign. So I'm more in favor of using the terminology as it appears in the initiative with then the proviso later on that we explain that in terms of the commonly referred terminology.
Would you want to use the term malt and Venice liquors, or would you want to use the term specified alcoholic or alcohol beverages?
To me, to say, you know, specified liquor beverages, however you want to describe it, isn't very meaningful to people. Maybe you can make the argument that the malt and Venice liquor isn't meaningful either, but to me, that's what the initiative provides, and so that's the way I'm leaning, with making then the compromise later in the text of the title explaining what those terms mean.
Well, I'm okay with it as is. Suzanne, you might
yeah.
be the tiebreaker. As is meaning
right.
with the changes proposed by proponent using the term full strength beer and wine.
And I do want to make the comment that I agree with the proponent's change in terms of it's not just the licensing in terms of the single subject of the measure. I think this type of statement is broader and more inclusive of all the provisions of the measure.
So really what we're debating is whether it would say sale of. We're not debating whether we'd go back to the original language.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. Is there anybody signed up to speak on this issue today?
I must admit that I did not put out sign-up sheets today.
Is there anybody who's going to speak on this issue today? No. Well, I guess I'm inclined to leave it the way it is right now, with the proviso that, you know, it looks like there's going to be a rehearing on this, and I may be talked out of it by the other side at the next hearing. But I guess I'd like to hear, you know, whether there's going to be any objections from about it. I don't have a problem with the way that it reads right now. But if someone comes in with an objection, then I'm probably going to be likely to flip back. So, you know, it's an adversarial process. So just let it play out. So I guess I'm for making that change. Do you want to make the motion?
So just to be clear, the change as we're currently reading it, the sale of full-strength beer and wine by food stores.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, and just to be clear, I wouldn't be comfortable with that if it weren't later defined,
right,
with more technical terms used in the proposed initiative. But yeah, I second that.
All right. I think you need to make the motion.
I move to make the changes as currently reflected on lines one, bleeding over onto line four.
All right. And I'll second it. And then all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. So that change passes 2-1, and then it takes us to see, I just put a period after food stores. But let's go on from there. All right. So the next one is creating a food store license.
And if I could ask one question about the proposed change, it seems sort of overkill to talk about creating a food store license allowing food stores. Could we just say creating a license allowing,
sure,
food stores?
That makes sense.
Okay. So then I believe that phrase would read, creating a license to allow food stores to sell malt and vinous liquors commonly referred to as full-strength beer and wine for off-premises consumption, semicolon.
Okay.
I would move that change, unless you have any more discussion.
We don't need to allow, we could do allowing, and we could save a single word.
We have two ing, but that's,
I am agnostic on that change.
I know.
Just put it out there.
That's fine.
It's an occupational hazard of mine. So I would move the language as I stated it with the change from to allow, changing it to allowing.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So that takes us to striking those exclusions, at least. I don't know if there's other language changes.
Can I propose,
sure,
two changes in regard to the next phrase, which is about the definition of food store? One, it would be to say something along the lines of defining a food store as an establishment that generates a specified percentage of its annual gross income from the sale of food items. So we drop the at least 25%, and we also drop the exclusions for fuel products and lottery ticket sales. I don't know. Do you think we need to at least a specified percentage? Because it's,
I think at least.
At least, okay. So it would be defining a food store as an establishment that generates at least a specified percentage of its annual gross income from the sale of food items.
Do you have any comment on the substance of the change?
I think that's an improvement.
Okay.
I'm fine with that change. Yeah. I would add two additional minor suggestions after, okay, we clean that one up.
You want me to go ahead and leave this change? Okay, I've moved the changes shown on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I just wonder if we can, yeah, go ahead, Stephen. Can we say earns rather than generates?
That's fine with me.
And then the second minor change is sale of food. If I, I know food items is defined, but as a term of art in the initiative, but I think it is reasonably synonymous with the common understanding of the term food.
Mr. Rogers, what do you think of that change?
I think that's fine.
You're fine?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like it.
I move those changes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so then I would move the proposed change to strike the phrase requiring food stores to purchase beer and wine from licensed wholesalers, semicolon.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And in the next phrase, I would move to strike the language all or part of on line 5 and the language in whole or in part on line 6.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. That's a cumbersome phrase, but I'm trying to think of a way to fix it, and I don't know if I have a good one.
I mean, you're basically continuing to allow it, right? It's not really new.
Well, if I understand it, and I'm sorry, Mr. Rogers, as I understand it, because there are distance requirements for what I think of as liquor stores, and it's a very broad category, that now this, because like you say, this is sort of an in-between license. It's not a 3-2 license. It's not a full liquor store license. It's something in between. But a 3-2 premise, a business that can sell 3-2 beer, I assume doesn't have a distance restriction to schools, or maybe a different distance restriction?
No restriction.
No restriction.
No.
Okay, so for it to switch over to now a food store license, because the way I understand the measure, if you had a new food store come in, a new grocery store chain or whatever come in, they would be subject to the proximity, the distance restriction.
That's
to
right.
Schools. But in this instance, to let the 3-2 licensee roll over to a food store license, they wouldn't be subject to that proximity requirement.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm fine with that one. It's the sentence, it's the one above. It's
about the changing or
permitting a food store that holds a valid. I think that was that what you were.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was.
I jumped. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's all part of. Okay.
And I didn't have any suggestions to change that previous clause, and so I didn't. Suggest anything. And meaning I am ready to move on to the clause you're talking about, Sharon, if you want to keep going.
Yeah, and I'm fine with the change to it. It just is kind of an awkwardly worded.
Mr. Rogers, in terms of your proposed language, I don't know, it just seems a little awkward to say to apply to change to a food store license. Would it
to apply for a food
store? Well, or maybe to apply to become a food store licensee?
I think that's better. I think that would be better.
To apply to become a food store licensee. I have no problem with dropping the local licensing authority language.
you guys have any thoughts? You want me to go ahead and move it?
Sure.
So then I move that the language change as it appears on line 8.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye. And I just had a couple more comments on this particular clause. For some reason, maybe because I've got licenses in my head, where you start with the verb permitting, it reads the act of permitting as in granting a license. I would, maybe allowing is a better term, which I think we used previously in the...
Up on line 6?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
So am I.
And then I would, this is again very minor, to continue its operations, I would just say to continue operating. And I don't like the food store's proximity to a school, but I can't think of a way to make that less jargony.
Yeah.
So I move the changes that I just suggested to that clause.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And I guess I'm sort of okay with dropping the last two phrases of the draft right now, just because I don't think they're really central features of the measure.
I am too, but I mean, Mr. Rogers, if you want that last one, I'm fine leaving it in too. That's kind of one of those I leave up to you at this stage.
I think the proponent's preference would be to leave it in,
okay.
Madam Chair.
Then I would move striking the phrase beginning on line 9, establishing state and local food store license fees, semicolon.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, let me read it into the record the way it is stands now. A change to the Colorado Revised Statute concerning the sale of full-strength beer and wine by food stores and in connection therewith creating a license allowing food stores to sell malt and vinous liquors, commonly referred to as full-strength beer and wine, for off-premises consumption, defining a food store as an establishment that earns at least a specified percentage of its annual gross income from the sale of food, allowing a person who owns a retail business licensed under the Colorado Liquor Code to own one or more licensed food stores, allowing a food store that holds a valid license to sell fermented malt beverages, commonly referred to as 3.2 beer, to apply to become a food store license and, if granted, to continue operating regardless of the food store's proximity to a school, and prohibiting the sale of full-strength beer or wine by a food store employee who is under 21 years of age. So we're okay with owning one or more? We're fine with that? Okay.
You know, Madam Chair, the more I think about it, that does seem to be a little down in the weeds. I think there was a suggestion that maybe that should come out. The more I look at it, I think that's a very good suggestion.
I mean,
take the entire phrase out.
Yeah, that was my thought, but I'm fine either way. I mean,
the language in the initiative isn't even an express allowing. It simply provides that other provisions of Article 47 notwithstanding, mm-hmm. You can own multiple licenses.
it's really whatever you two think, because I thought it should come out, so. But then I was going to put the period after.
I'm okay with taking it out.
I'm okay with it too.
Okay.
So I would move striking the phrase that begins on line 5, allowing a person who owns a retail business licensed under the Colorado Liquor Code to own one or more licensed food store, semicolon.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Any other comments on the draft?
I could keep tinkering, but I'm...
Well, you'll have...
I'm satisfied.
You can do that 2 weeks from now. Your heart's content.
Does the proponent have any more questions or thoughts or comments?
Looks like a good title.
And I would move the title as it appears on the screen for proposed initiative number 51.
Second.
Right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So probably we want to take this one over when we talk about 52 and just add what we need to add.
I think that saves us some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I would greatly prefer that.
So we're now on initiative 2015-2016, number 52. Mr. Rogers, if you could just introduce yourself and the proponents.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Trey Rogers representing the proponents, Blake Harrison and John Robinson, who are here in the audience and who have executed their affidavits this morning.
Right. Why don't you just begin by telling us again what you think the single subject is, and then we'll go from there.
The single subject of initiative, proposed initiative 52, is to authorize the sale of full-strength beer and wine at food stores or by food stores.
Are there any questions by the board regarding the single subject?
I do.
Okay.
So the elimination of the 3-2 license, what's the necessary connection between the creation of a food store license and the elimination in 2019 of the malt beverage?
Well, so these are two products that, unless you're holding a bottle of beer in your hand and reading the label, are virtually indistinguishable, a 3-2 beer and a full-strength beer. If we have, if we end up with a situation in Colorado law that allows the sale of both products in stores that are indistinguishable, we run the risk of creating serious confusion for the consumer. When the consumer sees a grocery store, they have no idea whether that store is licensed to sell full-strength beer and wine or only 3-2 beer. And so it is necessary, we believe, to avoid that type of consumer confusion to eliminate the 3-2 on-premise or off-premises license so that those stores can, or would in this case be forced to, apply for a full-strength beer and wine food store license.
And for those establishments that, whether they exist or not, I don't know, but in terms of that they hold a 3-2 license right now that don't qualify as a food store, they would no longer be able to sell 3-2 beer in their establishments?
That is correct. We've done a good amount of research on this. We think that is a very small number of licensees. For single subject purposes, that is really a potential effect of the measure. They would be, in effect, collateral damage. That is not a purpose of the measure and certainly not a second subject.
But a store could continue to choose to sell 3-2, right? Your statement about why you're doing it, because consumers will be confused that they don't, in theory, a store could choose to carry a 3-2 product, right? And the consumer would still have to look at the label to see.
I'm not sure I'm following you there.
Well, you eliminate the license, but you don't eliminate the sale of it.
Well, we do.
If I'm a grocery store, I can still choose to go out and, wholesale buy 3-2 liquor, right?
You can't.
You can't.
You're prohibited from selling that weaker product. And each premises is only permitted to have one type of license at a time. So it's not the case that once you become a food store license, you could also have a 3-2 license.
Huh. So you'd be prohibited from selling 3-2?
You wouldn't have a license to do so, yeah.
And 3-2 wouldn't fall under the new license, food store license?
It would not, no.
And I don't know that I agree with your position that the single subject is this, the creation of the food store license and that sort of collateral damage. I think perhaps if there is that necessary connection, and I'm still trying to decide that perhaps the single subject of your measure is broader than just the food store selling the full-strength beer and wine in food stores. I think it's dealing more with the liquor code, both, in terms of 3-2 license as well as your food store license.
Well, because there's only one license, one type of license permitted, if our purpose, our single subject is authorizing the sale of full-strength beer and wine, then, necessarily for those stores that wish to sell the full-strength beer and wine, they have to give up that 3-2 license. So out of the 1,500 3-2 licensees, there are it is a two-digit number, the type that have that we think, maybe a one-digit number, that would not qualify as a food store and would have to change their licenses. So it's it is certainly not a purpose to eliminate the sale of 3-2 beer at those stores. Merely in effect.
But I'm just concerned in terms of establishments that don't qualify for a food store license, that they lose their ability to sell 3-2 beer. And I think that to have that type of statement of single subject may be a surprise to voters to know that by approving this license, that 3-2 beer is no longer going to be available.
Yeah, and can I didn't mean to interrupt you, but can I clarify that after this change in 2019, will there be any outlets anywhere that will sell 3-2 beer?
There would be probably still licensees that would sell 3-2 beer for on-premises consumption.
Okay.
But there would be in Colorado no off-premises licenses to sell 3-2 beer. And, as to the confusion of the voter, surprise in the voter, the title, the staff draft, and we agree with it, would include a provision that very clearly tells the voter that the 3-2 licenses go away as of January 1, 2019. So that would seem to alleviate any concern about voter surprise.
And it doesn't necessarily alleviate my concern in terms of the necessary connection between the elimination of the 3-2 beer off-premises consumption, those types of sales, and your statement of the single subject. If that's a necessary connection to the creation of a food store license, and if that is, then perhaps the single subject needs to be a broader statement to include both of those in terms of that. I don't disagree that provision should be included later on in the staff draft to explain that effect, but right now I'm concerned about whether the statement of single subject covers all and whether the measure actually contains a single subject.
Yep.
That's where I'm at right now.
That's where I was going and thinking. It's more of an initiative to alter the types of alcoholic beverages available for licensees who sell those beverages for off-premises consumption than it is to add a license or authority to food stores to sell a certain type of alcoholic beverage. They're obviously very similar, but I think the effect of this is much broader than the effect of the other, of the previous proposal that we just set a title for.
Yeah, I agree.
But I still believe that this is a single subject, as I just stated, as it was described. So it will have to, if we choose to set a title, re-examine it. But I think it is still a single subject of altering the nature of licenses for the sale of alcoholic beverages for off-premises consumption, something along those lines.
And I can go along with that in terms of under the premise that the initiative is setting a new policy. I mean, just like at whatever point in time the 3-2 beer was allowed, mm-hmm. that you had certain establishments that could do 3-2 beer, mm-hmm. certain establishments that could sell hard liquor, wine, and full-strength beer. So now that would change. And so in terms of setting that policy of what beverages are available and in what establishments, if we can come up with a statement of single subject, I'm probably okay with that, going along that way. But I just don't think that it's just the food store license.
Right. I agree.
So sorry if I could. So in other words, a single subject, something along the lines of a change concerning the type of alcoholic beverages for sale by food stores.
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, I think we're in agreement that it's a single subject. It's just not your single subject. So why don't we do the jurisdiction part, and then we can move to.
And another question, and this is just because I'm not a liquor code expert, but the 3-2 beer provisions are actually, are they in the liquor code, or are they?
They are. It's.
They're in Article 46, not Article 47.
Seven, but yeah. It's still referred to as the liquor code.
No, it's referred to as, well. Yeah, it's fermented malt beverages.
But it's not the liquor code.
Well, neither is 47. Oh. It's alcohol beverages.
I think 47 is the liquor code.
Oh.
Let me just confirm that.
I remembered that the fermented malt beverage is in a different.
So we're actually changing both.
Well, I don't know.
Well,
that we can
no,
use
we're
the
not
liquor
changing.
Code.
Well, that's true. 47 is the Colorado liquor code.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Are you making a change in 46?
We are.
Yeah, you're eliminating. Yep. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, 46 is the Colorado beer code.
So we don't want to go.
So we need a motion on.
Well,
we don't need to know the single subject.
Okay.
Yeah, we just need a motion on it.
So if we do, to go ahead and. I'll move that we find that proposed initiative 52 constitutes a single subject and that we proceed to set a title.
I just have one more question. Okay. On that issue. What other off-premises licenses will exist after this initiative if it's passed? Any, or will this subsume all current off-premises licenses? At retail,
there's
tons.
Yeah,
it would.
So that's my point. So,
it would.
My concern is that it's not just changing the types of alcoholic beverages for sale by food stores; it's subsuming one license into another, essentially, and creating a new one.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So I would renew my motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. So now to the hard part.
And if I can ask Mr. Rogers, I mean, right now, I mean, although we could talk about all alcoholic beverages, but right now, it's a fairly small subset that we're dealing with. We're dealing with 3-2 beer, full-strength beer, and wine. And so whether or not we could at least make the statement of single subject focus on those three types of beverages rather than, you know, alcoholic beverages or liquor code or the beer code or something along.
I think that's exactly right.
Okay. Would it be possible to have the single subject read something along the lines of, so you do change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning the sale of 3-2 beer, comma, full strength beer, comma, and wine, and then strike by food stores. And after wine, say, for off-premises consumption. Premises is misspelled, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I want to get into,
I've
gotten away from licenses with 51 because it really is broader than that. And so I'm trying to take that same approach, but I don't know that we can be specific as to location, because I think that the elimination of the 3-2 beer doesn't necessarily affect just food stores. It may affect other types of establishments that don't qualify as food stores.
Right.
Even though that number may be small, I'm assuming that there's some that exist.
Do we need to add at retail, the sale at retail of, or is that starting to get too in the weeds for a statement?
Concerning the retail sale? I mean, you didn't do that on the 51. Other one.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean.
But now that we're dealing with the elimination of a whole class of license.
Yeah, but since you're saying for off-premises consumption, that may sort of eliminate the inference of wholesale.
Or at a restaurant.
Right.
I like it. I think it.
I'm comfortable with it. Does the proponent have any counter statement of a purpose or single subject?
I think it's fine.
Let me see if anyone else has.
Oh, does anyone else? I don't think anyone. Well, we don't have a sign-up sheet. So. Did anyone intend to speak on this title? Okay.
I don't want to interrupt the cogitation, but are we ready to move?
Yeah, I don't know if I have anything better. If
okay.
You guys have another option, I'm open all ears.
No, I don't.
I move to adopt the changes as reflected on lines 1 and 2.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Go ahead.
So I think that probably takes us to the last clause.
Well, as long as we want to leave it there. But go ahead and comment on the last clause.
Well, two changes there. First, as in 51, the fact that it's the local licensing authority that issues the licenses is perhaps a detail that's not necessary. And second, as we've discussed, the measure would not eliminate all fermented malt beverage licenses. It would eliminate all fermented malt beverage off-premises retail licenses.
Right. I mean, I think we could just say eliminating instead of repealing the authority of somebody to do something.
Yeah, I would rather say something like eliminating licenses to sell fermented malt beverages for off-premises consumption.
You want the effective date in there?
Usually we tend not.
Yeah, because it's a different effective date than the date of the
measure.
You do tend not to. However, this is a date that is 2.5 years after the effective date of the measure, and the reason it's important is that provides ample time for the conversion to the food store license.
My problem with it is that people may think the whole thing's effective then. We don't.
Stephen, before we discuss further, we already defined fermented malt beverages earlier in the title, so I would just use 3.2% beer.
We've got an extra
zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Before the percentage.
Really specific.
Yeah.
Are you a math major?
And it should be eliminating licenses to sell 3.2% beer for off-premises consumption.
You got premises wrong.
Again.
I'm sure I spelled it right that time.
Yeah, sorry.
Would it help in terms of your concern on the effective date if we moved, instead of saying effective January 1st, 2019 at the end, whether we say and as of January 1st, 2019,
yeah, that'd
eliminating
be fine.
Licenses to sell?
Yeah,
it up
I
so
like
that.
Yeah.
Hopefully maybe it avoids some of the confusion that that's the effective date for the entire measure.
Yeah.
I think you need a comma after the 2019. So
I would move the changes. You guys are ready?
Move the changes as they appear on lines 9 through 11.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Go ahead and read it. A change to the Colorado revised statutes concerning the sale of 3.2 beer, full-strength beer, and wine for off-premises consumption and in connection therewith creating a license allowing food stores to sell malt and vinous liquors, commonly referred to as full-strength beer and wine, for off-premises consumption, defining a food store as an establishment that earns at least a specified percentage of its annual gross income from the sale of food, allowing a food store that holds a valid license to sell fermented malt beverages, commonly referred to as 3.2 beer, to apply to become a food store license and, if granted, to continue operating regardless of the food store's proximity to a school, prohibiting the sale of full-strength beer or wine by a food store employee who is under 21 years of age, and as of January 19th, eliminating licenses to sell 3.2 beer for off-premises consumption.
Then I would move.
Do we, before you make a motion, do we need to change the clause allowing a food store that holds a valid license to sell fermented malt beverages, et cetera, semi-reflect that the notion that currently holds or for a time holds? I mean, at some point, that's no longer going to be true once those that class of licenses is eliminated. It might be too difficult to capture, but I just raise it.
I don't know that if you can say currently, because
right.
Perhaps someone gets a 3-2 license after
the vote,
if the measure was approved. Unless you wanted to change it maybe to allowing a food store holding a valid license, so it's sort of whenever they're holding it,
mm-hmm.
They can roll it over, they can apply to...
I think that's essentially synonymous, and I wouldn't recommend that change just based on how it reads, how the previous title read. So after additional consideration, I withdraw that suggestion.
They wouldn't have a valid license after January 1, 2019.
That's true. That's also okay. True.
On the final line, are we... essentially prohibiting the sale of 3.2 beer for off-premise consumption, or are we just eliminating a license?
We're just eliminating the license.
But no one will be selling it for off-premise consumption, right?
Correct.
At least not legally.
At least not legally.
Well, we'd be prohibiting the sale, basically. I guess I'm just wondering if that's really what we're doing and not just...
Well, there are lots of other, in Article 46, lots of other licenses that deal with 3.2, manufacturer's licenses, wholesale licenses, importer's licenses, et cetera. So I think this is probably the proper phrasing.
Yeah, and I hesitate to make that change, too, because the provision doesn't read to prohibit that activity.
Yeah. I guess my concern is it's just sort of surprising, I think, potentially to people that it won't even be available for sale, but we can address that at a rehearing if anyone agrees with me.
You ready for
I'm fine with it, yeah.
Okay, I would move the draft for proposed initiative number 52 as it appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, passes unanimously, and... that brings us to the end of our agenda, and the time is 11:45, and we are adjourned.